Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Assalamu alaikum, kia ora, and welcome to In Transit, the series where we center the many journeys of immigrant ethnic women navigating life in Aotearoa, New Zealand, with me, your host, Hafsa. In each episode, I sit down with women who share their journeys of settling in a new land, the challenges they have faced, and the resilience that carried them through. From cultural clashes to quiet triumphs, and from moments of doubt to deep appreciation. These are raw, honest, and hopeful conversations. Whether you're new to the country or simply curious, this is your space to listen, learn, and connect.
Kia ora and welcome to another episode of our podcast with a migrant woman here in Aotearoa. And today I'm joined by another new guest, so I am going to hand it over to her to introduce herself.
Hi everyone, my name is Sol. I am from Colombia. I have been here in New Zealand for about 20 years. I'm married, I have two kids, 1 year old, 1 7 year old, two girls. And yes, I will tell you a little bit more about my journey and about maybe this can be helpful for any of you. And yeah, I'd be so happy to be here. Thank you, Hafsa.
Thank you, Sol. And I always love your beautiful smile that just radiates and spreads some lovely energy.
Thank you.
So yeah, now I think what I'll do is I'll ask you to describe your first day in New Zealand. How did you decide to come here? And what was the first day like?
Well, I decided to come here to visit my sister because my older sister was already here. But I wasn't at the start really interested because I was having I was in my 20s, so I was having fun in my country. So I accepted. I say, okay, I will come and visit you and maybe have a chance to stay. But wasn't something that really I really wanted. But I'm here after 20 years. The first day I came here, I remember, was in 25th of November. That was my sister's birthday. That was in 2005. That was long ago, but I remember so good because it was very cold for me when I came here. And my sister told me November is going to be quite warm, so it's going to be okay. And it wasn't. I was with my jacket, with my gloves. I was like, you told me this is going to be warm and it's cold. So the first impact for me was the weather that was too cold, because it was her birthday. So she planned the next day a birthday party, and I met so many people and I couldn't understand what they were saying. So I was just smiling my Colombian smile and say hi, and that's it. So it was a big meeting. It was a big shock for me to meet so many people, and I couldn't understand anything because I couldn't speak English. So that was the first day I came to New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, nice. And it was cold in November.
Yeah. My sister was like, wait, just wait.
And what did what does the November feel like now, Sol?
Oh, November, I can be easy, maybe in a short t-shirt sometimes. Yeah, I'm still struggling with the cold. I mean, like, I'm not 100%, but I still like, I mean, in November, I don't wear my thermals like that time. And
adjusting. Oh, good. Right. So now, what did you do then? So you met heaps of people and then you didn't know English. So how did that next step in the journey come out?
Well, I was feeling a little bit kind of the adjusting to the culture, I think, was a little bit hard for me because I'm a very social person. I say, how can I meet people if I don't know the language? So it was really, really hard. It was frustrating. Sometimes I was like crying because I didn't know how to say even where is the toilet or easy things that you know, like, you know, the basics I didn't know. So that was a shock for me, the cultural shock to meet other people. So my sister told me, okay, we need to put you into volunteer jobs. Maybe that can help. And I was very scared to take a bus or to walk by myself, because in my country it's really hard to walk by yourself as a girl. And all this, a lot of information, say, okay, the volunteer job, I love to be a volunteer. I'm doing volunteer still until now. Volunteer work, I think, is one of the best options she offered for me in that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So where did you, if you don't mind me asking, where did you start at volunteering?
Because we noticed the English schools are really expensive here, right?
Yeah.
So my sister told me, okay, you're in a visitor visa. A student visa is not going to be possible. So you need to learn English your way. I don't know. She threw me there. So I started to do volunteer job in a place called Hugs Not Drugs. Mm-hmm. And that was a lovely job that I had to do, was like trying to fold like letters and make packages of presents for kids that were using drugs or from alcoholic parents or things like that. So they were embracing all this community of kids, vulnerable kids, and I really loved that. I felt very welcome.
Mm.
But in a place that I really learned English was in a place who they still here. They call Special Needs Library, and they do hire toys for special needs. And I learned there how to write like pot or a door or these sort of things. So I was cleaning the toys and they were teaching me, okay, this is a pot, this is, you know, like really.
All right.
So I was going around the library cleaning the toys and learning. So that was my English course, I think. That was a big English course for me, cleaning the toys and the ladies were old, so they were trying to offer like a cup of tea. Would you like a cup of tea? Would you like a... And I say to my sister, what is that? I say, no, thank you. And my sister was, no, this is a cup of coffee or cup of tea. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's so hard. And then, but after the time, I loved to be there. They were very patient and I was doing all this volunteer work. So happy to be there. So happy to do that. So, yeah.
Oh, so then you started, so obviously you worked in the volunteer work, then got probably a work visa or any different visa that might have allowed you to work. So where did you start working?
That was hard because I had the visitor visa. So I was like, okay, I have no English. I need a work visa. And my sister told me, okay, I will write a letter for you. And then you will go and knock doors. And I said, but okay, I got the letter written by my sister, but I didn't know if they asked me something, how to answer. So in the letter, she stated that if you're happy, just call me. And I arranged with my sister. And I said, okay. She dropped me to the city center. So I was with that letter and I was knocking doors in all the hospitality businesses, more in the kitchen, because I wanted to be a lawyer, but I started to be a chef at the end because New Zealand changed the perspective of my future. So that was a different choices. Like I wanted to be a lawyer, but I said to be a lawyer here is not going to work. So I was knocking doors, like, please, and smile and put the letter. Some people just were like making really bad faces to me. Some others were laughing, others were welcoming, but I was very persistent. And I learned from my family, where most of us women. And then from my country, we need to work hard and we need to keep going. So I was like, okay. Maybe one person will give me a chance. And that happened. One big man opened the door for me and he was laughing. Mm. And then he said, welcome. Okay. That was a catering company. So I was doing some work there for free, cutting a lot of onions, potatoes, veggies, tons, and for free. And I was just smiling. Doesn't matter. And then I got my visa. Actually, I got the chance because he called my sister and said she's really good, like hardworking person. So I want to help her with the visa. He wasn't from New Zealand. So he told my sister, I know what she's been through because it's hard to immigrate. I'm an immigrant. So he was an angel. And they give me 2 years of work visa, and I learn English in the kitchen.
Oh, nice. Oh, lovely. So tell me about your journey into hospitality business and what that felt like.
It wasn't that nice at the start because the education here wasn't the same. Like, we had a very educated workforce, so we were more like prepared. If I say that, we were more prepared than here. So the kitchen, I started to be a chef there, and they were very strict with rules and things like that. So I was trying to put into this in here, but let's say, no, it's very simple, it's very casual. And then I quickly came to be a head chef. So it was a hard one to manage a team of people, big guys, big girls, local. And I have to manage the kitchen because my skills and people didn't like much that. So I had to I built a stall because the kitchens high of the benches, they were really high for me. So I was using because I'm not a tall person. So I remember just giving instructions to people in my stall, my little stall. So it was really, really hard at the start because people just don't like, hey, this little girl with this accent, she's coming here to tell us what to do. So actually I had to fight hard to earn my position and the respect of people in the kitchen and in hospitality. You don't feel like, you don't find great people sometimes because it's just people just come and go. Some people just don't study to be there, not very well educated maybe. So it wasn't easy, but made me strong, made me really strong, and I have this self-acceptance that I'm enough for the job, that I am prepared for the job, and I have the skills. Maybe I don't have the best English at that time, but if for some reason my superiors and my supervisors put me there in a leader position, in a management position, so... So it's a good journey. Being in hospitality, you develop a lot of nice skills.
Yeah. Particularly, you mentioned about self-acceptance, and I'm sure that played a very big part in surviving and staying here.
Yeah, actually, the self-acceptance will help you with these negative emotions that you have towards yourself as an immigrant. Like, I'm not enough. I can't do this. I don't have the English. I can't. No. If you have self acceptance, that give you more like security. You feel more like more resilient, like with yourself, and makes you feel like safe. Just to say that, okay, more like you will promote positive thoughts, positive emotions, and it will reduce the stress because you're always thinking, they don't going to give me this job, they don't going to give me the visa, my accent is horrible. And then if you don't have this self-acceptance, that will be a tough journey for you. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, true. So now I want to take us a few days back before you came to New Zealand about what was happening in your life before you came to New Zealand. I know you said you were very young and you were enjoying life. So give us a little bit of overview of what it was like in Colombia.
Was a party life, to be honest, because in Colombia is very, we have a lot of carnivals, a lot of party, is warm, is happiness. And then I was just with my friends most of the time, just thinking about party, being crazy. I didn't skip that that part of my life. No, I did really enjoy it to the fullest. to be honest. I'm trying to follow my sister's voice because she told me, maybe you get a better future here, but I was having so much fun there. So sometimes you don't see the big picture when you are in your country. You see just a small picture and you think, Yes, this is my comfort place. This is my family's here. You know, I don't have to go there. But actually, if you push yourself and if you pass all the process, the picture is way bigger. Even as I see it now, because it's affecting my decision, affecting my kids right now. If I say I had enough here, that would be the smallest picture I could see, you know, in that moment. But I wasn't aware of everything that I can do if I just do this step to say, okay, I will accept this challenge. So sometimes you be scared because you're in your comfort zone, but you do the step and then, yeah, I left behind all the craziness, but all the party, trips, friends. Well, look, I was like in my teens, so thinking to be a lawyer, you know, like, I want to be a lawyer. I really want it so bad because I like justice and, you know, like you have to just defend some people that they need it. But I was wrong.
Maybe you are not, because you do that already here, isn't it? For the Colombian community,
well,
the different work.
I had the opportunity to work with very close to the with the community, and I love my country so much, and I'm very Colombian. I'm very proud to be Colombian. Yes, I will never doubt that.
So I know you said about proud to be a Colombian. So tell me a little bit about Colombian culture and your cultural identity here.
It's very important for me. It's a key part of me, is my cultural identity, because actually that, even though I'm not in my country, I'm far, but this remind me my heritage, my experiences, my familiarity. I can just keep going, telling my kids from here, they see that I wear my Colombian dress, I make my Colombian food. So it's very important for me. I think you need to keep that. So that's, cultural identity is very important also to accept other identities, because you want to show your identities, for example, to the Indian people here, to the Thai people, and then you want to tell them about your culture, about you, and at the same time, you are receiving this. So this will create a better relationship with other communities. So I think once your cultural identity is here, no matter where you go, is very, very valuable. It's one of the things that I really do more often, very proud to show Colombia. You know, we are happy people, hardworking people, colorful. We are very hardworking people, very persistent, strong personalities. You know, we have different nice things. The best part is the food.
Yes, and you touched on that for me when you talked about you make Colombian food. So tell me a little bit about why food is so important. And again, going back to your children as well, why do you want your children to know about Colombian food? Because, you know, they are born and brought up here. Yeah.
Well, for me, when I used to go to see my grandmother was a strong and important figure for me, always. So I remember when I used to go to see my grandma, and she just put all her tomatoes, potatoes, lettuce, her little garden, everything came from the land, you know. Let's go and milk the cow, take the cow's milk to make some cheese, to make some cream, to make some butter. And I was impressed. Like I say, this woman is so creative. She just can do so many things for us to eat from her plants, from the land. So I was always following her to the kitchen, always next to her, always paying attention. And she was always telling me how food important is to make people together, to show love, because she wasn't a person who can show the love very easy. But I knew when she was cooking a soup for me, I was her favorite. I was feeling you. I'm your favorite because you're cooking this that I love so much. And I was the favorite. Then let's be honest. But it's just from my grandmother that I was like so special. So I have these memories in here, and I'm never going to forget that. So food for me is very important. I love food. I love eating, trying different foods. You know, I respect food so much. Like, is something that you can transform and make it in not only into a meal, but into love. So it's why I decided to study to be a chef. So, okay, I want to discover this because my grandmother, you know, and then we are always get together as a family. So food is always around us. And then I eat a lot. I love it. So it's so good going to a country and try food, different food. So always I had the dream, I want my restaurant, my Colombian restaurant here. I want to show what my grandma was showing me, that you can transform and you can impact people with food, with your culture, with your cultural identity. You can bring it here. Yeah.
So beautiful. Food as love.
Yes.
That's the first time I've heard it. So I totally, you know, that's something new. And I like how you said that it is so strongly linked to your cultural identity. And then you did mention about your hospitality and you bringing Colombian food to the community. So I think it'll be good to just talk a little bit about your cafe, which you had. So just tell us a little bit about that.
When I was studying to be a chef, I said, I want to open a restaurant or a Colombian cafe in New Zealand to show people what is Colombia about, because we're very nationalistic. We love our country. So I say, okay, I'll take it anywhere I go. But I felt like I didn't have the skills enough to do it, because here in New Zealand, you also need to be prepared to learn about entrepreneurship, for example, how to open a business. It's not a easy access to information to do that as an immigrant. So maybe you can have a very good business idea. Maybe you have passion for something, but you don't know actually how to develop this. So I decided to study. So I started to start after I got my residency to start not as an international, but as a local. It was cheaper to say, I want to study here in New Zealand how to open a business. So I did a bachelor degree in management, but I did a majors in entrepreneurship and marketing. So I was studying here for 3.5 years, and I developed a business plan called Cafe Colombia when I was studying. So I break all the homeworks from the teachers when I was studying was everything about Cafe Colombia. So, oh, you have to pretend. And I was asking the teachers, I was taking all the information as much as I could because I wanted so bad to do this project. So, and they were asking me, you actually doing it? Because you always put Cafe Colombia in everything we ask you. So I say, yes, this is my project and I will do it. So, and I need your help. Teach me how to do management here, how to. So I did also a small business course that was from the government in that time as well at nights. And they were teaching you how to do that. And the IRD, they give you some lessons as well. So I was basically educating myself to put this project on progress. So after I finished all my studies, I said, this is the time. And then the business plan came to be alive. And I was actually a good dream came true after working in hospitality and have been in the industry for some years, plus my studies. I say, I think I'm well prepared to be an immigrant that didn't know any English and a person who actually is going to open a successful business. And that was the opening of Cafe Colombia when I met my husband in 2014. I say, nice to meet you. I have a business idea. Would you join me? I was very honest. I said, I'm going for this. You will be me. And then at the end, I found out he was a chef as well. I was like, wow. And he told me, I have the same idea, but I didn't know how. I say, I know how. Let's do it together.
So oh, I that is him, so nice.
I sold him the idea, say, hey, we have to do this, but you need to travel to Colombia before we do this. So he told me, okay. And then we spent a month of eating everywhere in Colombia, putting him like he knows the culture. I say, okay, you feel this? Well, I want to take this to Colombia. Because he's from Chile. He's Latin, but he's Chilean. So I say, it's not the same. And then we're Latin for a bit different. So it's how it came, like we started with a plastic table in a market, in the Brighton market. And then we upgrade to a caravan. And then we upgrade to a coffee shop. And now that was the coffee shop that you know.
Yeah, the one, the Cafe Colombia down that used to be there. But you had to close that, isn't it?
Yes, yes. We closed it for different reasons. Like we enjoyed so much since 2014 that we had it until 2022. So it was a long time experience for the experience, and we won awards. We opened a market for Latin immigrants, or all the artists, they sell the stuff that they want to sell for the art and craft market. Actually, it was a beautiful project that I did, and I feel very proud of that project. It was beautiful. But sometimes the life is not that what you want to, it's something more. You go beyond that. And we wanted to have a family, another baby girl. The business was taking from us too much. The COVID hit, so it was COVID. Even though with COVID, we were very grateful because we were doing good, not amazing. But was too much. Was some things that we need to consider first to keep going. So I say to my husband, do we want to keep doing this after so many years, or we want to focus in another thing? And it's not failure. I didn't see it as I saw it as a gain. We gained a lot of experience for this challenge. We were very successful as well. But it's okay to say, and it's a we were brave to say, okay, we are until here, and they say recognize that you need to change. You need to change something. And then we identify that, and then we were happy saying, okay, this is it. And we were happy to do that. And I think was the best option we had. We took until now, 2025, I would tell you, it was the best option.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important, isn't it? To know that you're doing the right thing with the dream project, especially like what you had as a dream project, which was your passion.
Yes, you will know what you are you capable to do. So say, if I did this, because we also did like big festivals, we created different festivals here and there. We created so many things through the cafe. Say, if I can do this with no English at the start, I can do anything.
very true because that would have been and then there's no doubt that would have been so challenging coming to an English-speaking country and surviving that. So you are a very resilient woman, Sol. Very resilient.
thank you.
my next question is around, I guess, because you did go back to Colombia a few times, I'm assuming, because, you know, you just mentioned about going there to try out the food before you started your cafe. But do you feel like you've left behind quite a lot?
Yes. At the start of the journey, I felt I left everything. In the middle of the journey, I felt I left something. And now I see it as a gain, and I live experiences, maybe familiarity, but I gain more than what I lost. Maybe because I have kids now and I can see the future of them now. But and then it's the process. I invite you, if you are listening to this podcast, that it won't be, maybe you feel at the start you lost your identity, your belonging, everything. But in the middle of the journey, you will say, okay, this is getting better. And the point that I am now, yes, I lost some stuff, but I was able to identify the good of the two places, combine them together and achieve great things is what I take from that. So, because if you think always like you left and you lost and you lost many things and you don't feel happy and then your roots are never growing here, you don't have a strong root to start your project, your things that you want to do in here, because you're always are going to be what if. But it's my invitation to embrace these two beautiful things that we have, because it's a strength rather than a weakness to have these two little words and then combine them together is amazing. It's a good recipe.
Beautiful. I think I like your recipe. It's a good it's a different perspective around looking at life here when you've immigrated here by leaving behind, you know, family and friends.
Yeah.
So my question next is around, if you, now that you've said some beautiful things about, you know, learning experiences and weaving them together and bringing the best of both worlds together, if someone asks you, how is living in Colombia different to living in New Zealand? And, you know, what is New Zealand like? What are you going to tell them?
Well, New Zealand, for me, I think is a land of big opportunities, because this country is quite young and is still a lot to explore. We live in an island. So if you have a good potential, you can do great things in here. So I will tell people that this is a land of full of opportunities. This is a beautiful place. New Zealand is being kind to us. So we love this country. And I say it's far away from everything, which is good, can be a good thing or a bad thing for people who have just family overseas. But that makes it special. So for me, New Zealand is home now. I can't call it home. I feel safe. I feel relaxed. I feel I can do many things in here. Sometimes I think, wow, you can do this in here. You can do this in here, because it's still a space for everyone. It's a space for everyone to raise their voice, to do projects. It's very supportive if you know how to have the right information, if you stick to the networking. I really strongly believe in the power of community. And here you can do that. Even if we are from different religions, from different places, we are powerful if we come together as a community. So here is a positive place to be, but it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone, but it's a good place. Yeah.
So what would be the difference that if you had to showcase someone and say that this is what is different from in New Zealand, from Colombia, what would that be?
Colombia, I see it more as back to memories and friends and childhood, friends, and more like fun, food, and things like that. You know, is a good place for opportunities, but it's harder. You need to work really hard if you want an opportunity. If you want a business, it's not going to be that easy. You have to. The things take longer. And it's harder. But people who are not from Colombia and then they go there, they don't want to live there. They want to stay. And actually, we have many Kiwis that open businesses, hotels. They went for holidays and they didn't want to leave anymore. They don't want to come back to New Zealand. And that's the beauty of things. Like, we have different perspectives. All depends what you want for your future. So we have different ways of seeing things. So I say Colombia is a beautiful place. It's a happy place. It's very vibrant, colorful, And I love it. It's so nice, nice weather. We have the same weather the whole year, tropical country, many fruits. And it's amazing to be there. But to live is different.
So, yeah, no, it's not cold in November there then. I think what I do want to ask as we move into the last segment of our discussion is around some of the challenges, and you've spoken about one challenge, right? The language barrier as one, but what have been the other obstacles or challenges that you have faced in your time here as an immigrant? I know you've highlighted to me that there is opportunity, there is potential for you to grow here and all of the positive sides. But what I also want to know is what are some of the challenges that you faced around being a Colombian in New Zealand?
I think one of the things that I faced was the employment struggle. Of course, the language is a big barrier, of course, but you have the skills. And then is the lack of the access to that information, because maybe, yes, you have employment struggles, but if you have the correct access to information, it will make it easier for us. So we didn't have that. That was one of the biggest. The integration to the education for me was different because we have such a different educated workforce in Colombia. And when they came to this system, was very confusing because they say, why here is very light? They don't ask you. They don't. I mean, like, was really hard to understand to when I studied my degree. But and then I just go, you go with the flow, but is going with the flow can be painful. So for me, when I was trying to integrate to the education system, was really hard. Another thing that I found very hard was the healthcare system. We don't talk maybe about that as an immigrant. You just go to a hospital or to the doctor when you feel sick. But no one tells you that they have procedures here that make you feel unsafe sometimes to go to be sick. I'm scared to be sick sometimes here because the health system is much better in my country, and we are third world country. So I'm not criticizing, but I'm just talking about my experiences. And I'm very grateful if my doctors are watching this. I love you guys. You are the best. Yes, from Spain. They are from Spain, so he's good. He's good. He's amazing. He's our family doctor. But actually, it can be a cultural shock as well. When I had my kids, when I went to the women's hospital and I faced this healthcare system, I was feeling really scared. I was actually, it gave me like really big trouble for a long time to understand how vulnerable I was there, and I was feeling lonely. So I think for an immigrant, it will be one of the points that they need to understand before they come here. Even though you have different obstacles like visas, like applying for visas is very stressful. You face discrimination. You face different things. But in my personal view, yeah, was those another things that I told you was kind of things that we don't talk much, but we should talk more about.
Interesting, because this is the second time I've heard about a new mum having a cultural shock. Okay, so it's come out of the interviews that I've done. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, if you're happy to just share a little bit more. Yeah. So what were the cultural shocks that you had to face when you became a first-time mom?
They do things very different here. So they actually, they are in pro of you have a natural birth, for example. And I was having issues with my body and I couldn't. So they let me wait for a really long time. And that was a very stressful moment. And I had some PTSD from that for a long time. I was facing very big challenges. I think was what the first time I felt like very unsafe for that. And I had to seek for help. because I was keeping it to myself for what happened. And I had to go there and do some therapy. And then they showed me, sorry, we let you down for this and that. We shouldn't do that. So I was trying, I was in a healing process after that. So that that was a mark for me to not trusting the healthcare system. So it was a bad experience and wasn't the only one, maybe with family members, with people that I know. So being a mother is just the most vulnerable moment in your life. You know that, Hafsa. You've been there. So it's beautiful. It should be a beautiful experience and shouldn't be something like I'm not having more kids, never, ever. So I think it's a lot of, for maybe for Kiwi women, they expect that. Right, they expect that they are is a delay. They expect that you know. But we have different physiological bodies are very different. You know, physically I'm different than a big Kiwi girl. You know, we're so different. And say maybe you are tough to do this, but maybe I'm not, or maybe it's not about toughness. It's about your body and what you is capable to do. So maybe very different, very different. Yeah.
Because that raises such an important point about safety, but like women from immigrant backgrounds feeling safe, because at the end of the day, there is that relationship of trust that is needed, right? I know what my body is telling me. Why don't you just listen to what I'm telling you?
Exactly.
That's probably what the experience was like for you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and then in your inside, you start thinking, okay, I'm not from here. I have to accept it. This is the way that they do it here. And sometimes there are comments like, hey, love, if you want, just go back to your country and have your kids there. And it's not the answer. The answer is we should care about you. We should look after you. You should feel safe. It's a vulnerable time for you. You need companionship. You don't have support, you don't have family. It's so many different things that is for immigrant women that we are not aware. I never thought the experience is going to be like that. So it could mark a person. It could make a person quit the journey here in New Zealand and in immigration when they are immigrating, because that happened to a friend. She preferred to leave New Zealand and have the kid in another in our country rather than having the baby here. So she never came back to New Zealand. It can have struggles in your mental health, and it really would be hard to recover, because we say we are not from this place, we are not allowed to complain, or how to complain, or maybe if I complain, my visa something, or, you know, it's really so many, many things that need to be considered and need to be addressed for immigrants, for the healthcare system, is it can be one of the challenges that a person could face, and not only with pregnancy, let's say with your normal health, you have something and you know it's not going to be like in your country, so you need to be aware of this, but no one tells you about that sometimes, what to expect.
That I think that's a very important point that you mentioned about that experience. So there's definitely something that we can learn there in terms of how we make it safer for, I guess, number one, for mums, because, you know, they are taking care of the future generations. And for them to feel safe is really critical in here. All right. So now I guess I'm just reaching the last end of our discussion around if you have any advice for people who are coming to New Zealand around how they can settle in and embrace New Zealand.
Okay, so I have some advice, well, according to my experience, because everyone's experience is different. Maybe people can come here already speaking in English, it will be easier. But in my point of view, and my final advice for you guys is like, focus in learning the language. That's a big one, because I couldn't understand anything. It was really hard for me. So embrace the local culture. some of the cultures, they come here and they look for their, for example, Chinese with the Chinese community or Indians with the Indian community. And you will never understand what we just talk about if you don't embrace this local culture and be interested to blend into them. I mean, to be with them, to understand them is going to be a hard journey for you. Not only because you don't learn the language, but because it's essential that you learn about cultures, norms, rules. And if this only happens when you embrace the local culture. The third one and one of the important ones that I will suggest is build a support network. It's very important. Let's say if you are a mom, you're going to have your baby here, you need this support network. If you're going to open a business, you need your support network. And look who they are as well. Be very careful. Not everyone is happy for you to to do things in here. And you know, not everyone is going to be happy for you. So choose wisely your support network to tell you, hey, I feel depression. I feel sad. I feel happy. Let's go for coffee. Hey, I'm struggling with this. How can I do this? So I really believe in the power of the community. And I'm fan of the creating a support network is very important. So another thing that I will do is do a lot of volunteer jobs. If you are in a waiting for your visa or you are in a part-time job, please do that. I recommend it because it's not only you are expecting for people to give you things, but you have to give back. So when you give back to the community with your service, with your skills, being a volunteer is not only transform yourself, but actually you are giving something to this place that opened the doors for you to be here. So I really love it. I'm still doing it. And I'm putting all in my skills into a nonprofit organization because I don't want my skills to be lazy. So I just, since I decided to leave work, my cafe, I'm doing it. And it makes me feel fresh and I can serve others with my skills. And that will help me when I back to the workforce again. Be patient. Don't rush it. Some of us want I want this work permit now, or I want to get that this now. Prepare yourself. If you can, just be patient. Yes, is one of the important things. And be optimistic. The self-acceptance will help you to be optimistic. Don't always wait for the worst, because sometimes we, as an immigrant, we think like we're not enough, or this is not the place, or you have to be a little bit more optimistic about your chances that you have in here. Having a spiritual connections was very important. Even if you are Catholic, if you are Muslim, if you are Christian, if you are Buddhist, find a place, find the people for having this spiritual connection. If you leave your country, that doesn't mean you have to leave your spiritual life, because it's what that keeps you going, is the fuel for your soul, for your body, for your mind. And then for me, it was hard because I found a Christian church in English. And now I was like, okay, this is not the same. But I'm blessed to say I'm part of a church. They do the services in Spanish. We worship in Spanish, studies in Spanish, prayer in Spanish. And that is more like, is a blessing for me. So I recommend that if you will come here to New Zealand, check where you can gather to worship and to have your, for example, now for Muslims, they have the Ramadan, and it's not easy when they have the Ramadan. It's not easy in another country. It's easier in your country because they close the shops. They usually are with your family, and it's easier. But when you're here, you need these spiritual connections. So don't leave your spiritual life in a side. And I hardly recommend that for any reason. And that will be my advice. Yeah.
That is beautiful advice. I think I just loved each and every bit of the advice you've given us. So thank you, Saul. Thank you very much for sharing
Thank you, Hafsa. Thank you for thinking about me. I really am very keen to give. If anyone needs something, any advice, any help, I don't know a lot, but I have experience here. Please contact Hafsa. Hafsa have my contact details, and I will be so happy to help in any ways I can, because it's good to give. This country gave me so much, so we need to give as well, give back, to the community.
What a beautiful offer. Thank you, Saul.
Thanks for joining us on In Transit. If today's story moved you, taught you something new, or simply made you feel seen, we'd love for you to share this episode with someone else. Also, don't forget to tune in to Plains Media for the next episode. Until next time, remember, your story matters.